Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I am Dan.
I'm Austin.
Alex.
I'm Angel.
And we're all in the studio. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Amazon original movie, The Tomorrow War. But before we get to that, if you'd like to join us, you can call in, 718-664-9735. Again, that number is posted up on any place that you are listening to us. Just go check it out. You can also join us on our Facebook live stream on Behind the Screen Radio Show Facebook page. If you're not already there, just go to the page and click the like and follow button while you're searching on Facebook. Go check out Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. From the page, you can access our website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. On our website, you can find some information on your hosts. You can find information on the shows. You can find information about us. You can access all of our archived shows. You can also access our YouTube channel, WC Media. Curiosity Media YouTube channel, sorry. You can also access all of our shows on iTunes. Just look up Wikicuriosity Media on iTunes.
That's it.
Welcome to the show.
Yay.
So, it's been over a week now. We did not have a Cinephiles last Wednesday because it was a very special day. It was our very own Miss Angel's 22-year birthday, something like that. I don't know.
That sounds like a combination to a lock.
So we celebrated her birthday last Wednesday with an absolutely fantastic meal that was prepared and cooked by none other than our very own Austin and Alex.
It was amazing.
Good to hear.
I ate the last of it tonight for dinner.
I had it for dinner, and then I had it for lunch. Yeah, the next day, and it was...
It was just as good today as it was the day it was made. So it's just as good as leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. But yeah, it's been a while since we've been on the show. As you can hear, Alex is in the studio with us tonight instead of broadcasting from his studio in Michigan.
Yep.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
We're always glad to have people in the studio. I'm always glad to have you down here with us.
Yeah, it's much easier when you're actually in the same room.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, it's a little hard to try, even with like the Facebook Live between just the hosts going. Not Facebook Live, sorry. What is it like? It's still, that helps, but it's still hard when you're not right in the room with the people that you're hosting with.
But other than Miss Angel's birthday, not a whole lot has gone on.
Nope.
Except for, you know, Alex coming down, of course. Had a fabulous, fabulous 4th of July, which is why we did not have a movie of the week last Sunday, because we celebrated 4th of July.
Because we blew a lot of shit up and then almost got blown up. So that was fun.
Look, I'm just going to put this out there.
Not our fault.
No. It was not our fault. We're going to get to that story here in a minute. But the way we do fireworks in our little cul-de-sac area, our little neighborhood. So first off, all of our neighbors that have been here for a while actually look forward to our fireworks because we put on a hell of a show. And I
always warn our neighbors, like, hey, don't forget 4th of July is tomorrow. Make sure you have your hose out. Make sure you, you know, make sure you're ready. Because we have one neighbor that tends to cover her car, and she, you know, she sits out and watches the show, but she just doesn't like the stuff on her car.
Which is understandable. No offense taken. I completely get it, because after the 4th, there was a lot of crap on our cars.
Yeah.
Yes, lot. There was.
I don't know. I didn't notice.
Because you drove it and blew it all off. But no, we put on a fantastic show, but because of an incident that happened roughly 5 years ago.
Yeah, like our first 4th of July here.
Yeah, yeah. We,
we're very, very careful now.
We are actually one of the safer ones in the neighborhood that launches stuff.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to the 4th, and so there's rules. There's a lot of rules because the Godfather likes to buy the big booms, and I get very nervous, especially after that first 4th of July, because we had a mortar fall over, and it shot out fireworks, and it went towards people. And this is really, you know, we live in Tennessee and in the freaking mountains, and so there's trees everywhere. So I just get very, very nervous. And I, the way that we do it, I have no anxiety about our stuff this year.
Yeah. So we, you know, we set everything up, and we make sure that, you know, all of our stuff is secure before it gets launched. We have our hose in the front yard after, you know, after the launch. We always hose the box down or the tube down. Or
someone's always Austin. Austin's always in charge of the
making sure that everything
the water control.
Is, you know, and after a few, we usually sweep up. We keep it safe and we keep it clean.
As clean as possible.
Yeah, you know, we always clean up after ourselves. We always make sure that everything is hose down, that nothing is smoking, nothing going to catch on fire, unlike the idiots down the street from us.
Every year, managed to do some shit, man. Every year.
So this year, they launched a firework, a mortar or something. And
it was like a mini mortar.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one of the big ones. But
it wasn't like one of ours.
It fell over, though.
It fell over. Hit our neighbor's house and literally probably came within
maybe a couple
say,
feet of the crowd that was in my yard.
Yeah. I mean, it blew up almost in my face. Had my oldest daughter behind me, who was freaking out. My youngest daughter on the porch, who literally fell on the ground,
she
covering
completely
herself,
lost it,
crying. Miss Angel is trying to protect them on the porch. I've got everybody behind me scurrying, trying to protect themselves and protect everybody else. And, like, it was chaos.
It was. It was complete chaos for about 30 seconds. I'm not going to say it was much longer than that.
No.
I mean, as soon as we knew that everybody was okay and the little one was picked up and believe she went inside.
We kind of halted things for a few minutes. And, you know, the guys and I were outside making sure that everything's good, nothing was on fire. And, you know, we're policing up our stuff, getting stuff ready for the next one. And we all turn around, and all of a sudden, here comes Miss Angel out of the front door, beelining it down to our neighbor's house.
I was pissed.
And then, of course, you know, all the guys.
Which I didn't see. That was the thing. That I had such tunnel vision, and I knew exactly, like, what I was doing, because I don't care. When I'm really angry, I don't really have a sense of fear, which is not necessarily a good thing, but I just don't. It's one track mind, and I'm going to go deal with this. So I didn't actually know that anybody was coming with me. I had no idea that anybody was coming with me.
So it was me, Alex, Austin, the uncle, and Joby that all walked out.
Was Joby here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joby was there. Yeah.
It blew up in his face.
Yeah.
He was sitting down right there.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And she starts beelining it, and we're walking back behind her. And he had, like, walked into his garage, like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
The one neighbor went into his garage and was talking to him.
It was yelling at him.
Yeah.
Like, it fucking blew up on my garage, hit my stuff. Like, she was going off on him, and she was down there with him.
It almost hit her.
Yeah.
She was right there in her driveway, and it hit her garage.
Damn. And then we're walking back. And I'll never forget the words that Austin said. He's like, you know, I may not be strong, and I may not be able to beat the shit out of him, but I guarantee you that the 18 inches in my hand will beat the crap out of him. Or the, you didn't say 18 inches. You said what?
26.
Yeah. It's like, but I guarantee you the 26 inches in my hand would have done the trick. And all of a sudden I see this bat like fall into his head, and I'm like, okay.
It's always good to know, though, that like my boys always have my back, because I didn't even care. In the moment, I didn't care if anybody was with me. I didn't give a fuck. I was going to go deal with it. We were going to have some words. Hopefully it wouldn't go any further than that. And he apologized. To his rare credit, because he's a douche, he did apologize.
He apologized only because he saw you going down there.
Yeah, I heard him in the garage. He was like, uh-oh.
Like, oh, shit.
Oh. But that's why we're so safe. You know, we'll just the thing was, is he'd been making bad choices all night. It wasn't, but an hour or so later that the same guy who'd been trying to blow up a box all night had like a mortar box sitting in his driveway. They'd all gone inside, and all of a sudden it lit back up and was on fire.
Yeah.
He didn't soak it or nothing.
No.
They never do, and that's the problem.
Yeah. And that right there is the reason why we have our policies and procedures in place for the 4th of July.
Yeah, because you never know if something didn't go off.
Yeah.
So if you leave a dry box off to the side, there's always a chance, because we've seen it with smaller little things where it looks like it's done, and it's a very delayed reaction, and then it lights back up and finishes. So it's better just to soak things down and know that it's not going to light back up. It's not going to explode on anybody.
Yeah.
Just be smart, guys. Like, when you talk about, people have canceled smaller things, and all I've heard this year is how much people want to cancel the 4th of July. I mean, there were some firework wars in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I get why they're pissed off, but let's not be stupid.
No. But overall, we had a good time. We had a bunch of burgers, a bunch of hot dogs, a whole bunch of food.
It was ridiculous.
We had alcohol, but we were
responsible
with it.
Yep.
Always.
You know, I drink alcohol, but I don't get drunk, so I'm the designated sober person.
He's the designated parent for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. I even get to drink with damn water.
No. You,
no, because
you
used to put out a fire.
Put it out of fire.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so we had a fantastic 4th of July.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, regardless, it was fun.
And if you want to see the opening, go check it out on TikTok. Under Wicked Angel.
Yes.
So
pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you send that to you with your Curiosity Media page so we can share it.
Yeah, definitely.
So we had a pretty cool opening this year. I mean, it wasn't anything like really spectacular, but it was kind of cool. I kind of enjoyed that opening. So, okay. In other news, we have some sad news for us Gen Xers in the room and those listening.
But in the film industry.
And the film industry in general. Right after the 4th, on July 5th, roughly 6 days ago, one of the most iconic names in the movie industry, Richard Donner, passed away at the age of, I think he was 93 or 95. So, if you don't know who 91. Okay. If you don't know who Richard Donner is, he is the director of such fantastic movies as the original Superman with Christopher Reeve from 1978, Lethal Weapon, The Goonies, the 1976 version of The Omen, Scrooged, Lethal Weapon 2 and 3, Superman 2, I don't think he did Superman 3, Lethal Weapon 4, a couple episodes of Tales from the Crypt, he did some episodes of The Banana Splits, Get Smart, Perry Mason, Gilligan's Island, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Twilight Zone.
You know all the shit we grew up on.
Yeah, I mean, he's been directing since 1960. And he's been producing, been an executive producer since 1975. He produced Tales from the Crypt episodes, Bordello of Blood, Free Willy 3. He was an executive producer on Any Given Sunday. The 2000 X-Men movie, X-Men Origins Wolverine. And they have actually given him producer credits on... Untitled Goonies Reenactment Project. It's a TV movie that's in post-production right now. And The Goonies 2, which was just announced. So, he passed away this week. Which is sad, because he has done some absolutely fantastic movies.
But 91, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, 91. He lived a good life, and he's been directing for, over half a century.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Long time.
So, yeah. Do you have anything?
I have nothing. I'm just waiting to do my fun facts.
Nothing.
Nothing.
We've got, 10 minutes left before we go to break. You've got absolutely nothing.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to have to...
Your co-host is over there. What's he got?
I don't know. He's doing something over there on his phone.
Getting a high score.
Oh. Okay. So, all right. Let's do... Since we haven't done it in a while...
Okay.
Let's do the On This Day in Film and Television segment.
Okay.
Okay. In 1967... The Newlywed Game premiered in the U.S. on ABC.
You know what's fun? I used to love the Newlywed Game. It was fun. And then the Dating Game. That was always funny to watch.
Did you know, fun fact, about the Dating Game? There was actually, and I don't remember who it was, so I don't want to say any names. There was actually a serial killer.
Yeah, I do remember.
That was on the Dating Game.
Yeah. Yep. There was.
Yeah.
Michael Myers.
Somebody missed that bullet.
Right? Somebody missed that background check.
They didn't miss the bullet. They were...
I mean, the two that he didn't pick.
Okay. Yeah. In 2007, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the fifth film, was released.
Watched that in theaters.
I did too. I think may have even gone. I think I may have even taken you guys.
In Arizona? Because where we watched it.
No, my parents took you, in 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I think so.
Yeah.
Probably either that or a Fast and Furious movie.
I think it was Harry Potter.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. And then in 2013, Orange is the New Black premiered on Netflix.
Yeah. It was a cool show for a little bit, but I got bored.
I never watched it.
I got bored.
Rodney Alcala was the murderer.
What was he known as?
Rodney Alcala.
But he had a serial killer name.
Rodney.
Because I remember hearing
the
dating
game killer?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because he was a serial murderer. And I remember hearing the story about it, and it was like a...
John Berger.
Was that another one?
It's just one of his aliases.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Yul Brynner was born on this date in 1920. I don't know if you know.
I don't know who that is.
I know you know the name.
I know.
That's all he's
done. Let's see. Weddings. Clark Gable. Married. Kay Williams. Spreckles. Frank Sinatra. Married his fourth wife, Barbara Marx. On this day. In 1976.
Because Frank Sinatra was a little bit of a hoe.
Yeah.
He's a ladies' man.
He's a ladies' man that wanted to share his money for some reason.
Right? But he had those eyes.
And that's about it for that. So, yeah, there really wasn't a whole lot for film and TV on this day.
So cool.
Sad.
Okay, we can just jump into our show.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take our break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Amazon original, The Small World.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. So tonight we're talking about The Tomorrow War, starring Chris Pratt, God, J.K. Simmons, Yvonne Strahovski. I'll probably just butcher that completely. I've really got to learn how to, you know, talk.
Pronounce words.
Betty Gilpin, Sam Richardson, and a whole lot of others.
So, perfect.
Already?
Yep. The film was actually made by Paramount Pictures for theatrical release. But due to COVID-19, they sold the film to Amazon Prime for $200 million.
Wow.
So it's not an Amazon original.
It is not. It was a Paramount Pictures.
Oh. Well, Amazon lied to us.
It was supposed to be, you know, in the theaters. So, yeah.
I don't know. So, right off the bat, the movie wasn't a bad movie.
It's pretty good.
I actually really liked it.
I don't know that it was done well theatrically.
I mean, it might have, just because the time that it was being released, you know, the timing.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was...
Yeah, this is definitely a streaming service movie.
It is. The only thing that would have brought people to the theaters, honestly, is Chris Pratt.
Well, yeah.
And J.K. Simmons.
Yeah?
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. But Chris Pratt is more of a household name than J.K. Simmons is, simply because of Marvel.
So, did you know that he was an executive producer on it?
Huh. Chris Pratt?
Yeah, he posted on his Instagram page in November of 2019,
mm-hmm.
saying, this is my first time executive producing on a movie, and I can finally post about it. The title, Ghost Draft, turned out to be problematic for various reasons, so we started looking at other options. We went through Generation Alien, World War A, Generation Gone, Saving Ryan, World War Z2, but with A's, not Z's, Horizon White Spike, Hero movie brought to you by Verizon, Jurassic Draft, Generation Draft, Miller Genuine Draft, City Slickers, Alien Dawn, Rapture Dawn, Apocalypse Dawn, Hero Dawn, Destiny War, Saving Tomorrow, and The Tomorrow War. The Tomorrow War, and that's what it hit me. We're calling it The Tomorrow War.
Jesus Christ. Half those names were like, what the fuck?
I would have heard World War A. Or World War Z 2. I feel like that would have been funny.
That would have been. Or Miller Genuine Draft. That would have been interesting.
Just Saving Private by Alien.
Damn. Okay. So basically the premise of the movie, hopefully if you're listening, you've seen the movie. If not, I mean, I don't know what to tell you if we do spoilers. So basically, the premise of the movie is these people come back in time from 30 years in the future to recruit people to help them fight a war in the future against aliens. And that is literally the whole premise of the movie.
Yep. Might sound a little backwards, but it's good.
It was interesting. I mean, the premise itself was interesting.
It is very different because normally when you have like a time traveling movie or time travel movie, you have somebody coming from the future to the past to change the future. I mean, that's your basic premise of a time traveling movie.
Yeah.
But you could see like society in the future coming up with some sort of plan to save themselves, you know?
Yeah. And that's what this is. This wasn't a movie of, hey, let's try to make the future better. Let's try to prevent this. It was, hey, we need to be able to...
We're dying.
Yeah, we're dying. We need to be able to save ourselves.
World-saving type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's actually interesting because... of that fact in and of itself. It's, hey, we need your help to preserve our life.
Yeah. Like, we're your kids. Save us.
Yeah. But that's also the biggest problem with the movie.
I thought it was. I liked it because it was a different concept on how somebody in the future would be responding to a situation like that. Because it was, it wasn't like they had time to come up with, you know, all these people and teams to go back and try and prevent it. They didn't have time for that. They needed help, and they needed help now. And it was a little weird because we know when they went back to get help.
Yeah.
They actually had a more sinister kind of plan in it because in the original script, the soldiers in the past were secretly poisoned with a toxin which eventually killed the aliens who consumed them, which explained why they did not need training. They were always meant to be expendable bait, but it wasn't included in this in the final cut.
Now, that would have been a little more interesting.
Would have been a lot more problematic for, like, morals and stuff, but...
Right.
But we've seen worse morals.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing worse morals, you know, happening in our own country right now. And so, the issue that I have, and this is the biggest issue that a lot of time-traveling movies have in and of themselves, is that they have such a finite and linear explanation of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you had mentioned that, you know, they were sending, you know, that they had come back in time and that they were hurrying and trying to, you know, gather people because in the future, they were dying. The thing is...
Are you using the Back to the Future?
No. Because...
Look at time travel?
No. In a sense. But, so Back to the Future is an excellent movie series. It is.
Okay.
When you look at it from a movie standpoint, when you look at it from a time travel standpoint, it has got so many fucked up things in it. But all time travel movies do. And that's the biggest problem with time travel movies, is that they are always focused, again, on such a finite and linear view of how time works. You know, it says, hey, we come back and we've got to save people in the future. You know, and this is a big plot hole that I have been told by some of the people that I've talked to about this movie, is that, well, you know, why didn't they try to fix things in the past? Why are they trying to bring people to the future to save the future? Why didn't they just try to eliminate the threat in the past?
They didn't know where it was or what happened in the past.
Yeah, because they had no actual data on a landing or how it started.
They didn't know where they came from.
There was never any data showing that they were there, which was, you know, obviously discovered towards the end of the movie.
Right. Again, okay, so then here comes the second plot hole to that. You've got an ex-military person, which I believe he was Special Forces.
So he was a high school biology teacher who served in the U.S. Army Special Forces, Green Berets.
Okay.
He was honorably discharged as a first sergeant.
Okay. So you've got an Army Special Forces guy who's a biology teacher. You've got another scientist, the big, mm-hmm. you know, the big guy that he was with, and a high school student. All three of them figure it out.
But the high school student was super fucking smart.
Oh, my God, I love the high school student. right now I'm just dealing with the plot holes that have been told to me.
Well, that's not necessarily a plot hole per se, because the way that they got that information was they took the claw that was the souvenir, and they actually examined it and looked at it and see what was up with it at the site of the crash where it first started. And they got information off of that. And then they were like, well, how did Volcanic Ash get all over the place? And they went to the first person that they thought of.
Right.
They could have gone to anybody, but they just went to the first person they thought of.
Yeah, but he's a biology teacher, and he's like, hold on.
Yeah.
Volcanoes, huh? I know a guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So they just went to the kid.
Right.
And the kid was like, well, the biggest explosion that could cause that is this.
Right. So
they got lucky.
They did get lucky. Right. But they had been sending people to the future for, what?
10 months.
10 months. And that, it literally took them an hour.
It wasn't an hour.
Okay, it was just a couple hours.
It was like a couple days.
Yeah, it
was
because he had to go see his dad, and they did all this stuff. And
okay, so either way, it was a couple days to where they figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
The plot hole that was told to me, and that I can kind of see, is that literally we have, so this is a very big military-industrial complex movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that it's literally focused on warfare, 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 trying to eliminate these aliens.
I think in the grand scheme, it wasn't to eliminate them. I think it was to buy time for research and stuff.
So the future people, that's what their goal was.
Yeah.
The people in the past were told that it was just to eliminate the aliens.
I mean, are you really going to sit there and explain what they're doing?
Well, it didn't really take any time to explain anything. Like, we just need to do this. That's it.
Yeah, it was go to the future, do this, do what you're told, come back in 7 days.
Right. And that's another issue. That our government would succumb to this.
It's not an issue.
It is
not an issue because you and I both know, at least with the current and even the previous administration, they would 100% be like, okay. Because it would blow their mind. If people come back from the future, they would do it.
100%.
I mean,
especially right now, like, they'd be like, okay.
I mean, if they don't do anything about it, then, you know, they're just,
you gotta figure also,
you're getting told aliens are real and that time travel is real. You're just gonna, we're good.
Like, their soldiers that were coming back were far more advanced than the soldiers that are currently here.
Yeah.
They would have said, and they would have done whatever.
The whole world did. It wasn't just our government.
Yeah.
All the world leaders' government did.
Right. Oh, it's like I said, these were plot holes that were brought up to me.
We're filling them.
Yeah, I don't think they're plot holes that ruined the movie.
What do you think, Austin?
Not that ruined the movie.
Do you see those plot holes? Wait.
What do you mean? You guys have been explaining it.
Yeah.
Well, what was your opinion on them?
That they weren't plot holes in the beginning. I didn't even think about them. They were pieces of the movie.
Did you think that they fit well?
Yeah, I think that the future people weren't very smart. They were able to get the future stuff going, and then these were just people running it. And so obviously they're not going to think about anything that would actually stop it. They would just be doing their mission. Their mission was to do whatever they were doing for 10 months.
Do you think that the people that came back were just following higher orders? Or do you think that they were the ones in charge in creating the orders?
I don't think they were in charge. Because, like, there was no world leaders left.
So who would have been in charge? It would have to have been the military, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was the military.
But these were just soldiers.
Yeah.
Most of them. So most of them were just doing whatever they were told they had to do.
So from what I gather from the movie, when after Chris Pratt went back, you know, Dan Forrester went forward, after he went forward.
Back to the future.
After he went forward, the person that was in charge was his daughter.
Well, she was, no, because she was in charge of the science aspect.
Right.
Not the whole aspect, though.
Right. But it's kind of like there were, like, little factions fighting all over the world, and this was just that one faction, but she was pretty much...
She was the head honcho.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty much in charge of that faction that had created the time portal, or whatever it is, and was also running the science aspect of it, trying to find the
toxin.
The toxin. So, and I think her whole, I think what it with the basic thought process behind the future people was that they were trying to bring soldiers to kind of keep the aliens at bay so that she could finish up her research.
Yeah.
And then deliver the toxin and send it back.
Yes, that was the whole point.
Which, you know, makes sense and eliminates the plot holes that are there.
Yeah.
They are running out of soldiers. You know, the human race is almost extinct. How do we get more people as we go back in time and like, hey, we need your help.
Mm-hmm.
So, which does eliminate the plot holes that were, you know, explained to me from...
If you watch the trailer, you could just, why don't they just go back in time and solve it? I think you got to watch the whole movie in order to understand why that's not a plot hole.
Yeah.
I will say, like, when they were jumping, that scene when they came in, like, obviously something happened and it tweaked out a little bit.
The first time?
Yeah, and we see them falling, like...
You'll be 5 to 10 feet above the ground. And
watching
them
bounce off.
Skydiving.
So,
yeah.
I have an unnatural fear of heights. Like, I don't like heights at all. Like, it can be crippling and debilitating at times. In that scene, when we get that first person shot, when we come out of the portal, and then we see people falling, and
they're dying,
falling,
like they're dying,
and they're bouncing off of stuff. I'm like, I had like chills all over my body, like this whole feeling of vertigo and. Oh, shit.
That's one of the kind of weird parts of the movie for me. Like, if I disliked anything, it was probably that scene. Because no matter what, no matter where they landed, even in the pool, everybody would have died. Like, you're falling awfully high, and you're hitting that water that hard, and the pool is only so deep.
Yeah.
You're going to die either way. There was no, I'm just going to land in the pool and I'll be okay.
Yeah.
No, he came so close, though. Like, his landing in the pool was by millimeters from the edge.
Yeah, and that was
and
like...
he had somebody land on top of him, which would have hurt him.
Yeah.
That was movie magic and whatnot, but, like, maybe have him fall a little bit lower.
You can tell that the pool was probably pretty deep, too.
That's a rooftop.
Yeah, because so many layers of people came down.
Right, but...
It's a rooftop pool, though. You can't have that much water.
At its deepest, most pools are only about 12 feet deep.
Yeah, that one looks about that. But, I mean, yeah, that's about enough feet.
Even for a rooftop
even,
pool?
Yeah.
They, you know, you can only have a rooftop pool if you build it in mind at the beginning.
They make most rooftop pools the same as you would like with a city pool, where the deepest area is like 12 feet,
right.
And then the lowest is like 3.
But the thing is,
they're lucky to land in the 3.
Even hitting, so hitting water,
it looked like a lap pool, so it looked like all of it was
the same level,
same depth.
Yeah.
It didn't look like there was a shallow end.
So, and I have to agree with Alex on this one. The thing is hitting a pool at a certain velocity.
Hell yeah. Water hurts.
Going to be equipped. So if you hit water at terminal velocity, it does the same damage as if you hit concrete at terminal velocity.
Perfect example. When I was young and stupid, probably about Austin's age.
Old and stupid?
Yeah, because I would never do it now. I would freak out. We decided, as I don't even know what friends I went with, but we decided we were going to go up in the mountains. We were going to go jumping into the river. You got everybody is just like running and they're jumping off, but it's loose gravel and stuff. It was my turn. We're about 30 feet up.
Uh-huh.
So that's a pretty big jump, which shouldn't matter if you jump correctly because you're just landing feet first and you're going in the water. Everybody else is great. Woo!
You slipped.
Last second, my body said, don't do it. And I tried to stop. And I was on the edge. And so I just kept going. And I landed, like, my, I don't even know what the fuck I did. My knees came up. And so I rotated. And I, from 30 feet up, I landed on my side. It knocked the air out of me.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was with my roommates. It knocked the air out of me. Somebody had dragged my ass up from underneath the water. And I couldn't quite breathe. I was kind of done for the day. It hurt a lot. I got up the next morning, though, and my entire side of my body was nothing but one horrific bruise.
Yeah.
And that's just from 30 feet. Like, and that's not falling from, you know, whatever was pushing them out. That was just me and my clumsy ass.
Yeah, there was no acceleration.
Yeah.
With this, they had acceleration. They're basically skydiving.
Well, when you hit water and you're not going feet first or diving in, you know, smoothly head first, you hit water with a flat part of your body from that high. Because they were, I don't know if they were 30 feet or not, but for me, 30 feet, it felt like I hit the ground.
Well, even if you're standing on the side of the pool, you just, like, fall in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, when I was going through basic training, so my basic training, okay, I served in two branches of the military, Navy and Army. My ultimate, or my initial basic training was Navy. And so one of the things that we had to do was to jump off of a platform that was roughly 20 to 30 feet up, just to simulate, you know, jumping into the water in case a ship, you know, in case you have to abandon ship. And it's, number one, it's scary. Because, you know, I don't do heights. That's even gotten, it's gotten worse with age.
Yeah.
And number two, if you don't land correctly, you could get hurt. Like, they specifically warned us, like, if you don't cross your legs and you go in feet first, you are going to hurt yourself. Like,
not necessarily true, though, because, like, when you jump from, say, a cliff or something like that, you're not crossing your legs. You're just jumping in. You keep your legs straight.
You're keeping your legs straight and pretty much together.
Yes.
You don't spread eagle.
Yes.
And they told us, don't spread eagle. You will hurt your balls.
Yeah, it'll fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to land on that
from the water.
Just a little flick. But yeah, that scene was purely movie.
Yeah, they get it. It's an action movie, but still.
They could have possibly survived.
A little bit of realism would have helped. And that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was some realism. We watched people bounce off buildings. It was obvious that they died.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
That one guy that fell on his head hit the guard like the rail.
Yeah, fucking horrible.
Have you seen the movie *See No Evil*? When that guy, a murderer, gets like a pipe in his eye.
Yeah.
And he's falling, and it's just ding, 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 ding. He's bouncing his head off the thing. That's what I thought of. He just fell, and it's so.
It looks like a really bad pinball game.
And he did like a couple cartwheels and then smacked the ground.
It was horrible. It was horrible to watch. I mean.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was thinking in that moment, too. He's like, holy shit, I'm going to land in the pool. Boom.
And the thing is when you have that first-person view, you're looking. And so when you watch the previews, you know that he lands in the pool because those are the previews.
Yeah.
They show him. They don't show the first-person view. They show under the water view of him landing in there.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're falling, the way that they did, so I will say, the way they did the camera angle, and I'm pretty sure it's CGI.
I mean, probably.
The way that they did the camera angle and the way that they did the velocity and stuff like that, as you're going down, you look like you're going to hit the side.
Yeah.
You look like you're going to hit the concrete.
Yeah, I mean, he came within, it looked like when they did it, it looked like he came within millimeters of hitting the edge of the pool.
Yeah,
because I was like,
oh, imagine he was like, okay, army training, straight legs, pencil dive. And he was going and going and going. He's just ever so slightly off, and everything else gets in the water, but he just scrapes his butt. I got this. No ass.
Oh. Chris Pratt, no ass.
That's a shattered, like, hip
everything.
And tailbone.
A shattered pelvis.
Yeah, no. That'd be horrible.
But you gotta imagine the cannonballs, though.
The water. Oh. Then you've got, you know. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I will say, one of the things that I really like about this movie, one of the things that I dislike about a lot of alien invasion movies is the lack of imagination when it comes to the design of the alien.
These were scary.
They were pretty scary.
This was a really cool design. It wasn't really like super original, but they were pretty original and pretty cool. I guess one of my favorite alien designs in science fiction, you know, alien type movies.
So I absolutely agree with you. When it comes to alien movies, the one that I compare it to...
Xenomorph.
The Xenomorph, which was done by H.R. Giger, who's just a fucking crazy-ass motherfucker in his designs.
Yeah.
And it was already based off of something from, like, the Necronomicon or something, right?
The Xenomorph?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Not the Necronomicon. It's like the Book of the Damned or something.
Yeah.
Really?
It might be based off of, like, a demon or something. But the Xenomorph is the...
Scary.
It's the benchmark for scary aliens, period. Especially in the original Alien movie.
Yeah.
And these, I kind of feel like were, I don't want to say based off of the Xenomorph, but had elements of the Xenomorph in them. They were quadrupedal.
Who did, It wasn't Covenant. Was it called Prometheus?
That was
It was like an alien movie.
Yeah, Prometheus. That was Ridley Scott.
Who produced it? Like what film company? Because they might have used the same CG model.
I can actually look that up here.
If it was Paramount, then I mean, I'm not gonna say they did, but it's a good chance that they used the same base model for it for the CG design.
Right. I think, hold on, let's see if I can look this up real quick.
I was thinking of Alien Covenant, by the way, the CG model.
Yeah, well, Alien Covenant is another,
What did you say that, who made the Xenomorph design?
H.R. Giger.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. He made a painting called the Necronom 4.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he based it off of that. Yeah.
Do you think that these aliens are similar?
They're more similar than the aliens from Star Wars.
Well, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so Prometheus and Small War have no production companies in common. Prometheus was 20th Century Fox, which is, yeah, that's who did Aliens. Dune Entertainment and Scott Free Productions. The Tomorrow War was Skydance Media, New Republic Pictures, and Amazon Studios.
They're obviously working in tandem with Amazon anyway.
Paramount?
So when they say original, maybe originally they were set to make the movie and
yeah.
then sold the rights.
So
maybe the movie hadn't even been made.
They do have, okay, so Paramount does have credits under production companies. All the production companies, the Skydance, New Republic, Amazon, Lit Entertainment, Paramount Pictures, and Phantom Four Films. Distributors was Paramount Pictures International. So Tomorrow War was released in theaters internationally through Paramount Pictures.
Yeah, they probably had some type of deal for that, like, release it internationally through Paramount, but do it on Amazon.
Well, yeah, because we know that it was 2019 when he put on Instagram that he was executive producing something.
Right. Let's see if I can see production companies. Ooh.
And then Amazon probably helped finishing.
Jesus. Maybe brand new Line Pictures Productions. But I will say that, so the alien design for this movie was more unique than a lot of other alien movies that we've seen other than the Alien franchise, because a lot of them are repeatable. And they kind of have a similar feel to them as like humanoids.
Yeah.
Because that's what we have seen as the dominant form.
We also have to make things make sense.
Yeah.
Like their anatomy to us has to make sense or it can't be something.
Right.
That and they're humanoid because back in the day they had to have a human in the suit. They didn't have CGI or it was a puppet.
Right.
And humans are easier to work with than puppets.
Right. And I mean, even the alien, the original alien creature, the xenomorph, was actually just a 7-foot tall guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah. It was all practical.
It was very expensive.
Yeah. But the thing is even with this movie, when we see the original aliens in the spaceship in the cockpit, they're bipedal.
Yeah.
That we can, you know, determine.
There's two things that I heard today that were absolutely amazing. One of them was the reason we've never had a time traveler come back is because the reason we've never had our future selves come back because our future selves never make it there. Like, the world ends.
That's scary.
And then another one was whenever the meteor struck the dinosaurs that made them extinct, it was actually an alien spaceship, and we're the aliens.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting theory.
So, although if you look at TikTok, there's a lot of people that claim to be people from the future that have come back, and they're going to tell us, you know, how horrible, how good things are in the future. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but I've seen at least in the last year or so probably 10 different users on TikTok that are like, you know, nobody believes I'm from the future, but I'm here to warn you. And I'm like,
there's one of like, it's pretty obviously fake, but it's good for somebody that obviously didn't have production value. But it's of this like alien. And they said, and it's like of them like interviewing them for like 15 minutes. And it always circulates my social media like once a year. And they say that like the world is going to end in like 2035. And that, you know, death doesn't matter because you transcend and all this different stuff. And it always seems to circulate back. Because a lot of people believe it's true. Like, a lot of people believe that this random video on YouTube was released by the government or, like, some government official, and just nobody's ever reported it.
So, what is your take on it?
Well, I think my take on it is that if something like that was real, we would never see it, because it would not be able to circulate the internet. The government would definitely shut it down before it was able to just stay on YouTube for 15 years.
Yeah.
So I guess Ruby's hosting tonight.
She's like, I got this.
There's plenty of evidence of other things happening. Especially as old cases get to be unlocked year by year, old like CIA and FBI cases. The more and more that happens, the more we see that there were things that have already been leaked to the public that were easily hidden by the government. And so that if those videos are circulating and they were true, they would already be taken down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, possibly, yeah.
Guess what?
What?
Tomorrow War 2 is confirmed to be in production.
They always do that. Streaming services, they always confirm stuff, like, immediately after something's success.
Yeah. They don't give it time to breathe.
Marinate.
Yeah.
So, I think I know the direction they're going to go in with it, but I think it's stupid because I think the Tomorrow War could have definitely just been a one-and-done movie.
I think it should be a one-and-done movie. I don't know that...
The Yesterday War.
Tomorrow War 2, Yesterday War.
We get to see it from her point of view.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where they're going to go. It's from the future side.
Well, they're definitely going to... Like, we have the 30 years that just doesn't exist now that they can totally do stuff on.
Right.
Show more of the
I think that alien race that you were talking about that brought the white spikes.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come back maybe somehow.
Searching for their long lost ship.
Yeah.
I think so that they can still have the sci-fi horror aspect of it. I think that they're going to do a movie based on like the events leading up to
like a
the
prequel
first movie. Yeah, a prequel, but of the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
like the 30 years that happened that will no longer happen now.
That'd be interesting.
One of the things that really let me down about this movie was the explanation of the white spikes. It's so easy in a movie to be able to just say, oh yeah, these were aliens and they were being carried by, you know, another alien race and that they crash landed on Earth. And
I think something that would have made it way more real and way more terrifying is if it was actually just some ancient animal that, because of global warming, it melts and then that destroys the world.
That was my first thought initially.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, they thought they were aliens simply because they didn't understand. But and that's what I was hoping they were going with when they were talking about it came from Russia. There was no crash landing. They just all of a sudden showed up in Russia. Mm-hmm. Was that this was some ancient creature that had somehow survived from, you know, the Jurassic area, the Paleolithic era, that was native to Earth.
Yeah.
Or even that it was a government experiment gone wrong. You know, that would have actually fit perfectly into the narrative that we have now going on in the world.
I feel like the government one's kind of easy and like the quick route. What was the government experiment gone wrong?
I definitely wouldn't have enjoyed that one as much because we definitely...
I want there to be a little bit of mystery behind it.
We would have had that moment that a lot of sci-fi things have done before where they go, you know what you're looking at right now? You're looking at you. You in the future. This is what happens to the human race after genetic modification. So many things have done that.
So many things have done that. So many things have touched on the evils of genetic modification that the government and civilian companies are doing and stuff like that.
Which, yes, it's very real now.
It is.
It's been done.
It's been done.
Been done before we were even able to splice DNA.
You're right. We've been talking about government experiments it's you know, one of those typical things, especially when back in the 60s and the 70s when we didn't quite understand the power of the nuclear bomb. Godzilla was originally a mutated monster from all of the
tests.
The nuclear tests off the coast of Japan. It was a movie warning of the dangers of nuclear weapons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in reality, it just kills everything, but it's just as bad.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a Godzilla out of it. But,
no.
You know.
We're going to try.
And you know, kind of going off track on that, that's a lot of people's theory on SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Is that they came from, they're mutated from all the nuclear tests in the Bikini Atoll. And that's why it's called Bikini Bottom and blah, 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 blah.
You can't go that in depth with a kid's show.
you know
why it's called Bikini Bottom? Because the writers are like, hey, we made a Bikini Bottom.
No, they do. It is based on that shore because the maker of the show was a marine biologist. And almost everything in the show, besides the fact that it's a kid's cartoon, is scientifically sound.
Talking fish, scientifically sound. Got it.
Well, it's a cartoon.
Right, like...
Right.
Besides the cartoon aspect of it, everything else is...
There's a lot of things going on in it.
Yeah. Makes you think.
They're just trying too hard.
If art imitating life is such...
I don't know about the nuclear stuff, though, because he just wanted to make a kid's show.
Right. Well, that's where a lot of nuclear weapons testing happened, was in the Bikini Atoll. But anyway, go back to the movie, because we could go on a whole tangent.
So the Bikini Atoll is in Japan, right? Where's that at?
Let me... Hold on. Marshall Islands.
Where's that at?
Hold on.
It's a coral reef, so it's probably near Australia.
Why would a squirrel from Texas be in Australia?
Because she traveled there.
Yeah.
She's neighboring from Texas.
Yeah, but I mean she's...
She was doing it for work to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was studying shit.
It is right off the coast of Australia.
Yeah, she was sent there.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, no, they devastated many of the islands.
Yeah. Well, it's not an island, it's a reef.
There were clusters of islands that they actually devastated.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
back to the movie.
An atoll is a circle of small islands, and a reef is usually in the middle of it.
Yeah, so they devastated they pretty much vaporized three of them.
It's pretty sad. That's why we're dying. Do you know that we get 64% of our oxygen from the sea,
mm-hmm.
not from trees?
Mm-hmm. It's from the coral reefs.
Do you know that the biggest portion of the 64% is only at 20% capacity? Because of all that?
Because we're killing our oceans.
But we got to save the trees.
We've got to save the rainforest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's why you have the big thing with the save the ocean now.
Yeah.
It's because people are like, oh, wait, all of our oxygen comes from it.
So, the whole explanation of the white spikes. The thing is the whole concept of... aliens, like actual aliens coming from an alien planet and being on an alien ship, it's been done. The concept of government experiments has been done. And only here recently have we really been doing a whole lot on weird creatures that are native to our planet. One of the biggest ones is Godzilla and Kong with the whole Hollow Earth theory. And I would have liked maybe a little bit deeper explanation.
I definitely thought they were going lizard people because of the whole, like...
Hollow Earth theory.
Well, yeah, but, like...
That's part of it.
I didn't think that they were going to, like... I didn't know they were going the global warming thing. Like, right before that, I thought it was going to be, like, because of, like... more earthquakes and shit, and more hurricanes and all that it stirred them up and woke them up.
And these are there
in Russia.
What's that?
Stirred them up and woke them up in Russia.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and that these are their, this is their army to eliminate the ape creatures on the earth so that they can, that actually would have been an interesting concept.
It's just a concept that's used a lot. I can see why they also want to use that one.
It's actually one that hasn't been used. Okay, it's been used in Doctor Who.
It's been used in quite a few things. If you just look up, like...
But it's not mainstream.
Hollow Earth movies or Lizard People movies. It's Landy.
Journey to the Center of the Earth. Is one. But for a mainstream movie, that would have been... That might have been a more interesting concept to explore versus just it being an alien craft that crash landed on Earth, you know, thousands of years ago.
I think they were just trying to keep it simple.
And I get that. I get that. It's just, it's been done and done and done. You know, the whole
crash landing and then freezing over?
The whole actual alien thing. I mean, the concept of freezing over was done in Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been done quite a few times, too.
Yeah.
It all has, but it's hard to make something that's not original. You just kind
of
have to make it your own vision of it.
Usually they twist a bit. This one, they twisted other parts. Like, they twisted the more, like, how future works and all that parts. But the actual, like, aliens themselves were kind of just, like, a concept that's been... very, like, used. Like,
but they had a time travel to this one.
Well, yeah, the movie was original. I mean, the concept of how the aliens got there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's a problem for me, at least. Because I think the movie's original enough to where they could go the simple route with how the aliens got there.
And I can see that, because they focused a lot more on going to the future and fighting in the future and the whole concept of the white spikes and trying to get the toxin and stuff like that. And a lot of the movie led to like trying to get the toxin to be released in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end of that act in the movie, we get that quote unquote twist where he has to go back and make, you know, more of it so that it can be released so that it never happens.
Well, so fun fact.
Okay.
Chris Pratt said the shooting location for the winter scenes in Russia was actually on a glacier in Iceland that had never been filmed on before. And that a few weeks prior to shooting, a couple's bodies had been discovered down a fissure and appeared to have been preserved from about 1940.
That's creepy.
You're right. That would be so horrible.
Yeah,
right before shooting, when they were, like, scoping out the area.
Wow.
Yeah. That would be horrible.
How preserved are they? Because you still rot over that time.
It just said they were fairly, well, maybe not because of the temperatures.
If you're encased in
they
ice,
could have been mummified.
You can't rot.
Yeah.
They were down a fissure, so they probably weren't encased. And also,
I'm sure they were frozen.
Iceland. Is it Iceland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Iceland.
Yeah.
Okay. Iceland constantly is melting and then refreezing all the time.
Well, it doesn't say, obviously, he doesn't go into detail about, like, how preserved they were, but
yeah.
That the bodies were there from around 1940.
Crazy.
Yeah. What a horrifying thing to discover, though. Like, when you're just trying to find places to shoot a movie, and you're like, sir?
I'm sorry, there's two bodies over here.
There seems to be death right here.
There seems to be dead bodies here.
So, something I didn't understand about the movie, I guess a plot hole, was, so, at some point they were like, they did the time travel question of, why don't you go back in time at a certain point to see where the white spikes come from? That you can come back this far back in time to
eliminate them, yeah,
where they are. And they said that there's only two points here in 2022 and here in 2052, and you can only travel between these two points and throughout the timeline going forward. So you can go forward and you can go backwards, but only at these two points, and no longer further back, and no longer further forward, and nowhere in between.
Right.
So, with that specific of time travel laws, and like that specific of like how these time travel nodes work.
Oh.
How is there one 30 years in the past anyway?
Right.
If they couldn't time travel, if they couldn't even time travel 10 minutes into the past, how could they travel 30 years into the past?
I think that's just where the point, where the, because there's only one node. It's just the two points,
yeah.
But there's only one machine. They went through that machine, and it took them to that time.
So this is where...
But it was built already.
Okay. In the year 2052?
Well, obviously it was built in 2052. But they had just built it then.
Okay, so they built it
right.
In 2052.
Yeah.
To be able to open up a...
Wormhole.
Wormhole, portal, whatever you want to call it, be able to go into the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they were... focused. I don't think they were like, okay, well, we're going to go 30 years in the past. I think they were just opening up a portal, hoping that
they could get somewhere in the past.
Yeah. So this is where the whole concept of time travel that you and I were talking about at length one night comes into play.
Okay.
So I actually did, I've actually done a lot of thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of time as we perceive it is strictly man-made. Hours, minutes, seconds, days, months, and years. The way that we break it down is strictly human.
Those are units of time. Like how we like calculate and like tell time.
Right, but it's uniquely human.
Yeah, those are just tools.
Right. So the idea of, and the best one that I can describe is Back to the Future, because he does punch in, you know, specific days and times, or specific, like, years, months, and days into his thing. That idea is flawed simply because of the way that time has literally changed since we have been calculating time. Because the standardization of time as we know it is it's fairly recent. It's only been maybe 200, 300 years where we've had the standardized units of time. Now, in order to be able to...
And they had other units of time back in the day.
Right.
Before that.
Right. But if we were to say, like, let's say we invented a time machine, and we wanted to go to, like, 54 AD. We wouldn't be able to punch in 54 AD because there's different units of time, different ways to calculate time, and different calendars. Like, you can go off of the Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar, the Christian calendar and stuff like that.
And also in spatial awareness, if you went off the thing that you just simply teleport from one time to another, the Earth wouldn't exist there.
Exactly.
We're moving in space.
Right. So if you would have to, so in order to be able to calculate a point in time to be able to get there, so in the world we live in right now, we have three dimensions,
mm-hmm.
right? We have an X, Y, and Z axis. AXIS, axis, in which we are able to transport ourselves within our environment. Airplanes use an X, Y, and Z axis, you know, longitude, latitude, and height above sea level. In order to calculate time, you'd have to have four. You'd have to have the X, Y, and Z. And then you'd have to have a Y, or a, like an A or a W axis. The way to get around that is to be able to calculate almost precisely the revolution around the sun that the Earth goes.
You'd have to calculate the rotation of the Earth and the rotation of the... You'd have to calculate the...
rotation of the Earth and revolution of the Earth.
Revolution of the Earth.
And then subtract it.
And then also the rotation of our solar system and the revolution around the singularity.
Exactly.
At the middle of our galaxy.
Exactly. You'd have to have all that information to be able to plug it into a computer that can do those calculations
If we get back to the movie, though, something that already breaks your theory is the fact that they are sending people back that are specifically too young to be born yet.
Right.
And they're sending people forward that are too old
to be alive.
To be alive, which means they knew exactly when they were going to be teleported.
Which makes no sense in the movie at all.
They knew that they were going to be exactly 30 years in the past.
I think you could send just about anybody back, and you'd be fine. Because our population now is, like, what, over 7 billion?
Yeah.
Well, it was the population
in the future is 500,000.
It was like the hydrogen atom bomb theory of, well, what if the molecules from the atom bomb split it and we just explode all the oxygen on the world at once? I think they just weren't trying to take any chances. What happens if two of you exist on the planet at the same time?
Right, and I'm not saying that they did not have the ability to calculate all of those variables to be able to go back to this point in time. And that it could be that, and this is getting really, really scientific, but also
science fiction
and, you know, just very amateur hypotheses. Right.
Yeah, I honestly don't think time travel can exist at all.
Oh, I don't think it's possible at all. But that's a whole
different... Especially going backwards. I think we could do it going forwards, maybe.
It's
impossible to go forwards because that hasn't happened.
Yeah, I would...
But it's impossible to go backwards.
I would say that you could go backwards.
It's more plausible to go backwards because that's happened and you could... That history has already happened, but to go forward into something that has not happened yet, then... You know,
I think it's more possible to go forward because the forward has already existed somewhere else, which means that...
How? If it hasn't happened.
Because of space, because of how far light travels. If we could go faster than light, but slow enough, we could go forward to what people see us reflecting back at.
Yeah, that's just, like, speed and stuff. It's technically kind of time travel, because you're... At a different time.
Technically kind of time travel. I don't think time travel can be just like a bamf and then a bamf.
But that's going seconds and stuff ahead of somebody. Being able to tell what happens then. But to go like 10 years, 5 years, a year into the future, I don't think it would be possible.
I don't think
that amount of time hasn't happened.
I don't think going in the past on our planet would be possible either.
Why?
Our Earth is set in what's happening right now. If we were to go, if we were to basically teleport to where the Earth used to be, there's something else that's going to be there now. And that's really all we can do. There's not really any other version of this where that works.
I don't know.
I think that, like, we can look into the past.
Yeah.
Because we know that already works. Stars are proof that we can look into the past.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we could physically actually come back onto the planet in the past.
So you can go to the past, you just can't come back.
I don't think it could ever work. I don't think there's a version of time travel where you could actually go forward or backward ever.
Yeah.
I think that we could teleport. I think that that's a very plausible thing to be able to.
I don't think so.
Split your molecules and then put them somewhere else.
I don't think that is going to work how we think it is.
I think that's way more plausible than time travel.
Yeah.
The thing is, we have actually proven that teleportation is possible because we have actually... Because
they did it in Star Trek.
No.
Well, no.
Because they have actually teleported a single atom from one place to another.
That's a single atom.
Right.
But it's
trillions.
Right.
But there's absolutely no proof of time travel.
No.
You know, 30 years ago, we never thought cloning was possible. And 20 years ago, we did it. So,
scarily possible.
It is.
Yeah.
The concept of transportation, of transporters in a Star Trek-esque type manner is more plausible now than it was.
It's more plausible, but you're taking apart a multi-trillion piece puzzle and then putting it back together in the right order.
Right. We don't have the technology to do that yet.
We're not going to do it in the next year.
We're not going to do it in the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no
I
way.
Think, I think that
the next 50
there's
years.
Plenty of things we're going to get. We're going to get to Mars in like a
5 years.
Yeah. But I don't think that we're going to be able to teleport anytime soon.
Yeah, the human to Mars. We've been to Mars with like rovers and stuff.
Right. I mean, even if you look at the Star Trek universe, they weren't using transporters for biological creatures until almost the 23rd century, which is 300 years in the future.
Yeah.
200 years in the future. So, and even then it was sketchy.
Yeah.
I don't know how many Star Trek episodes had transporter malfunctions on them.
Plenty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would, if they did it in my lifetime, I'm not touching it.
No.
No way.
Look, I'm not even getting the fucking vaccine for COVID. There ain't no way you're transporting my molecule somewhere. It's not fucking happening.
I don't think, even if I was presented the opportunity, I had this discussion with Ethan. He said he would do it, but if we were presented with the opportunity to go to space, no way I'm doing that. I'm not going to space.
No. Oh! Speaking of space, and I know we're completely...
The Virgin Airlines guy?
Yes.
He went to space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did not go to space.
Well, space.
Yeah.
And came back, which is... It's the first commercial vehicle to be able to do that.
Did they do it, or did they already do it?
Yeah, successfully. Yeah. He came back.
I think that would have been bigger. I like bigger in news.
No.
It's because... Okay, so we have two planes that... have been around since, the first one's been around since the 60s, the second one's been
around since the 70s. Blackbird.
70s. Yeah, the U-2 spy plane and the SR-71 Blackbird, which did the exact same thing as the Virgin spacecraft.
He did commercial.
Yeah.
What we did back in like the 60s, 70s, 80s, and whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
it's nothing too exciting.
What was it, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we had somebody that skydived from suborbital flight.
Yeah.
So it's cool because it's commercial.
Well, there's people that now fall without parachutes on from plane level, like commercial plane level, as long as there's a net on the ground.
Yeah, I think there's somebody that's done that.
Yeah,
there's
a time or
two. People that have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do it for a world record now.
It'd be a messy world record to clean up. I did it! World record! Smack!
They do it without a parachute. Imagine they fall, because I heard them, they were like, these people are going to open their chutes at this height, this person's going to open their chute at this height, and then they're going to fall away from them, and then something will notify him. And I think the first... He was falling from so high that the first beep notified him of how high he was at 18,000 feet, which means that he was around 25,000 feet up, I think.
No.
Because you're talking about terminal velocity. As long as you have a net that can stop terminal velocity, you can fall from any height you want.
Right.
Besides the point of altitude where you will burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah. So that was our little stint of the ADHD podcast.
You know another ADHD thing? one of those, I like watching those things where like they're like history things that just never make sense. Like don't line up because of how we think history works, like especially like reading in books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Orville Wright, the inventor of the aeroplane, was alive to see it used in World War II?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's not so cool. Awesome.
It's cool to see his invention go from...
See his invention go into a bunch of Navy ships? Yeah, real awesome.
Go from a wooden biplane to a fighter jet.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My amazing invention. It'll cross oceans in less time than a boat. Yeah. Turn into war machines.
So back to the Tomorrow War.
Where they did not have jets.
They did. Which is kind of cool. I will say that I agree with Austin on the whole time travel thing.
Time travel
is
not really a pause, but that's what makes the movie science fiction.
Right. It was cool to see something different with time travel.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, somebody coming from the future to warn somebody in the past and say, oh, well, we've got to stop this, and it takes for the whole movie for them to convince them.
Yeah.
And then they finally convince them and everything's good. It was, you know, hey, we need you to come back, to come to the future with us so that we can destroy these aliens in the future so that we can continue the human race.
Yeah. The thing that, another kind of small thing that bugged me about the movie, I think Austin mentioned it too a little bit, is that in 30 years, we still have not moved past the AR-15 format for military weapons.
It was not me.
You brought it up.
I don't do anything with guns.
You said something about them still using the same guns in the future.
That's true. I did. No, that was him.
So we kind of...
I brought it up at a different time.
Yeah.
So
I brought up the fact that...
That started our discussion on the 5.56.762.
Yeah. But in 30 years, we still haven't moved from... In this world, we still haven't moved on from AR-15, 5.56.
Right, but let's take a look at, and I can understand that.
Literally this year, the Army's looking into replacing AR-15, like right now.
Yeah, but
right, but
this
they've
year,
been doing that since I joined 25 years ago.
And
that's
literally
talk.
This year is going to, next year would be the year that these white spikes would be attacking, and then you just got to deal with whatever you have.
White spikes didn't attack in 2052. Or 2022.
Yeah, they did. They attacked the December of 2022. They had like 12 months to prepare.
And when they first attacked?
Yeah.
That was in like 2048 because the ice caps haven't melted yet. That's why
really?
He had the science kid or the kid at the high school punch in. It was like 2038.
Why were they
getting
it done then? They had years to get it done.
If there's a bomb sitting under my ass, I'm not going to wait 30 years to disarm it.
Well, and they were still picturing what they just left.
Yeah.
You know, in his head, there's still a war happening and people are dying.
Yeah, he needs to get that shit done quick.
Yeah. So, we do have to go into our final lights here in a minute, but I do want to put the 5.56.762 debate to rest real quick.
You can try.
So, okay.
I already did. 300 blackout.
Yes. 300 blackout.
It would be a final round.
But if we're looking at the availability of ammunition that they would have had. So, the 5.56 is a great penetrating round.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And it is a great round to use with multiple shots. And it's a great round to use for...
Untrained civilians.
For trained civilians, yes. And for more distance shooting, because it doesn't change its trajectory as bad over distance as the 7.62 does. However, at closer ranges, the 7.62 has more stopping power than the 5.56 would.
Why would you... Okay.
So,
the stopping power, I get.
And penetrating power.
But that's not going to do much against an alien the size of a car.
It's going to
hit it real hard, but we've already seen that hitting it real hard don't really help that much. You need to get through its armor. And the 5.56 is going way faster to get through that armor. You need speed to get through it.
I don't think any of our bullets can get through.
So, okay.
That's why
we aim
for the stomach and the head.
Right.
In the movie they did.
The solution that was presented with the people that I talked to who are well-versed in guns and ammunition, So if you look at it, the military uses both 7.62 and 5.56. The U.S. military uses both. The solution that could have been presented is that Well, okay, so number one, most of the civilians that were going over were using weapons of their own choosing and of their own...
Things that they could use.
Yes, things that they had, things that they could use.
If they didn't have anything, they were given...
They
that.
Were given the 5.56, which is an absolute perfect weapon for a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the higher trained military personnel, like Chris Pratt's character, could have used the 7.62.
Could have used. But even when Chris Pratt, a highly trained veteran of war, had the opportunity to switch out his gun, he went right back to the AR-15/5.56.
Right, because later that, was the most, that was the most ammo that was on the field.
When they were in Russia, he could have used another weapon.
He could have, but the 5.56 is more readily available than the 7.62.
It depends.
The ammunition is.
I wouldn't say it's more readily available. I'd just say it costs, but at that point, if you're buying that big a bulk, a couple hundred bucks difference doesn't really matter for him, his situation. He could have got anything he wanted. His dad was right there and had all those weapons and all that stuff. I'm sure he had other ammo laying around, and he still went back to the 5.56.
Yeah, Andy was only carrying like 3 or 4 mags anyway.
Yeah. But I will say that the use of the 5.56 in the movie for civilians and for the practicality of the movie is the better choice.
It's because it is.
Because it is.
Yeah.
I still say the 7.62 could have been used in different platforms that they had. If they would have had the weapons available, because they did have the 50 cals on the Humvee.
Something that I didn't understand, I'm going to change a bit, is whenever they said that they were planting bombs in the spaceship, something I didn't understand was that whenever she saw the white spikes, like the white spiked nest,
I'm going to hold
like,
them.
They were like, I'm gonna make sure these things don't get out, set off the charges. But she had only just now seen the white spikes, and they were getting out of their things. So where did the explosives that were already in there come from? She hadn't set anything yet.
No, they had them all in that, like, area.
In the front
like,
area.
They were just dropping them and stuff. And they were future explosives, so they're pretty big. That and the spaceship exploded, too. Like,
yeah.
Its fuel and whatnot exploded.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think, though, if it... Because it obviously had to have, like, ran out of fuel or something. Because you think if it had fuel and stuff, it would have exploded on impact.
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the fact that J.K. Simmons is 66 years old and was built better than 90% of the men in the film?
Yeah, J.K.
Simmons
is pretty bad.
J.K. Simmons as a person right now is fucking built. Like
he's
just,
so completely jacked.
Yeah.
He's been that way forever, though.
Yeah,
I don't even think that's not just for the movie role. He's just like,
no,
as a person,
that's a hobby.
He's a jacked guy.
So
I
will
hobby.
Say that J.K. Simmons is one of my...
A badass.
Lesser...
He is.
I don't want to say lesser known, but lesser A-list stars. Because, I mean, he's not... So you can go up to... You can go up to any teenager and be like, hey, you know who Chris Pratt is, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, he's... You know, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, who's J.K. Simmons? I have no idea who that is. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not as well known as some other.
Is he not J. Jonah Jameson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
people know
him
now because of Far From Home.
Yeah, but
that's always my go-to is J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
From both franchises of Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, I knew J.K. Simmons from the HBO series Oz back in the early 2000s. Because he was just such an imposing character.
He's always looked so old, though.
Yeah.
He's always looked old, but somehow now, instead of looking like an old guy, he just looks like a really buff Santa.
Which is what they called him.
Yeah.
Conspiracy Santa.
Yeah. But he's actually such a great actor in anything that he plays in, whether he's a main character or a supporting character, he has that presence to where... When you see him, you're like, you know, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
So I like J.K. Simmons as an actor, period. There's nothing that I've seen him in that has been crap.
Yeah.
So.
He looked pretty awesome in this movie.
He was kind of a badass in this movie. We'll say he was. Okay, so my favorite scene for J.K. Simmons was at the end where the female alien is coming.
He made the snowman.
He made the snowman, and then all of a sudden he shoots the sniper rifle.
And decks her in the side of the head.
Yeah.
Surprise, dumbass.
I was like, that's J.K. Simmons right there.
That's funny.
Totally his character. In anything that he plays, that's how he is.
Yeah. That was funny.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
All right. Since Alex is in the studio with us, we're actually going to start with your final act tonight. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
What I liked about the movie? Pretty much everything. It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't like the best movie in the world. Like, it's not going to get Oscar nominated. But as just like a put-on movie, pretty good. I mean, I could sit down and watch it. I watched it twice, so
okay.
It's pretty good. I liked the, like, not really the gunplay, but how they just fought the aliens. Like, you wouldn't really think how to combat that sort of thing. So I think the way they did that was handled pretty well. I didn't like some of the major unrealistic things about the movie. But other than that, I didn't have any gripes. I'd recommend it. Give it like 8.5, 9 out of 10. It wasn't bad. That's not compared to like other movies, but just like
as a general
the tier of movie that it is, it gets an 8.5, 9.
Okay. Nathaniel, your final act.
I actually really enjoyed it. I'd seen the previews for it a few times and had kind of avoided watching it because I was like, I don't know. I know it's got Chris Pratt in it, but I wasn't sure that it was something I'd be interested in. And I don't mind science fiction movies. It's my favorite, but I do enjoy Chris Pratt, and he does lend a sense of humor to the stress of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. Like, he's kind of the perfect comedy relief to a point, I guess. It wasn't like funny,
he's
but
like a little bit of fresh air.
Yeah.
In an otherwise stressful movie.
And there were some pretty funny little parts in the movie. I thought the concept was fairly original. I thought that it was one of those movies that was needed. It wasn't typical. It was something that was kind of different. You had to kind of think about it. You kind of had to work with it, kind of work it out in your head. Those little plot holes that people saw. If you thought about it and paid attention to the movie, you could work out those plot holes yourself and be like, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
You know? I actually enjoyed it. There wasn't a whole lot I didn't enjoy about it. I honestly, like, the plausibility of certain things really just, I was enjoying the movie. I didn't care.
Right.
So there wasn't a whole lot I didn't like. I would watch it again. I'm sure there are things with this kind of movie where there's a lot of jumping around and the story moves in different spots so quickly, sure there was a lot of miss. Like, I actually don't really remember seeing the landing of the aliens.
We didn't see it.
I thought there was a part where they showed aliens doing something.
No.
Well, either way, I'm sure there's shit I missed. And I would recommend it. I think it's something different. There's not a whole lot out there right now to watch. So if you've got nothing else to watch, watch this.
Chris Pratt and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
What
like,
could go wrong?
Right?
It's fun. It's different. There was some pretty cool characters in there. So yeah.
I remember at the end of the movie, we kind of both looked at each other and were like, did we just uncover a hidden gem that nobody's watching?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I agree. I do.
I think it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Austin, your final act.
Nice.
I think that this movie was a good movie, but it was definitely very typical. There was a lot of it that I just kind of bored me. I didn't even really want to watch it, but you know, it was a better movie than I thought it was going to be. and it's some of the best I've seen from Amazon Prime. Don't really like a lot of Amazon Prime stuff. I don't know. I like the concept of the aliens. I liked how they looked. I think that, like, if they just remove the origin or, like, they made this movie a bit, like, more mysterious, it would actually have made it better than trying to explain it all. Kind of like Xenomorphs. Like, we're not like, oh, yes, we need to know where their planet was and all that stuff. I think that it was, they kind of needed too many explanations, especially for stuff that we don't even understand. And that can make sci-fi boring, because whenever we need to explain it too much. But it wasn't a bad movie. I thought the CGI was okay for the most part. The monsters looked amazing. The monsters looked scary.
CGI was really good.
Yeah,
CGI was really good.
Compared to other movies out there.
I definitely like
say any names
monster
right
design.
Now.
Yeah. Like the teeth and stuff, the fact that they don't even make sense, I love it. Like, how do you chew or anything like that?
It just starts, it just falls out. You remember when, like, Peter Griffin had a stroke and he couldn't drink nothing? That's kind of what I picture.
Yeah, it's like these things just don't anatomically make sense, but I think that makes them better than us trying to make them make sense. And so I did like that aspect of it, but there was some stuff that I didn't like, some stuff that didn't exactly make sense, some stuff that could have... They tried to explain stuff, but then it explained the explanation. They just kind of gave us an answer that would be okay enough and then moved on. So you should really either go one way or the other. And then I would recommend it if you have Amazon Prime. It's definitely nothing you should get Prime for. And I probably won't watch it again. Don't really do Amazon Prime.
Not my thing.
So we talked a lot. We compared the aliens and stuff like that in this movie to the Xenomorph in the Alien franchise. The Alien franchise, if you're a fan of the show or if you know me, the Alien franchise is absolutely one of my favorite sci-fi slash horror movie franchises. And even in the Alien franchise, the origin of the Xenomorph is kind of ambiguous. They kind of explain it in Prometheus and Alien Covenant, but it's still somewhat ambiguous because this is one plausible explanation. You know, it's, okay, so, you know, we have this, but how did they get over here?
Yeah.
You know, it's not a full explanation, and we don't need that for that type of movie. And that's one of the downfalls of this movie, like Austin was saying, is that they tried to explain way too much and shove in such a short time span. This movie was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
It is literally a fun movie to watch. You can sit down and you can watch it. And like Miss Angel said, the plot holes that people are looking at, they're trying to find plot holes. And those plot holes can easily be explained away by either the science in the movie, the science fiction in the movie, the fiction in the movie, or how the movie operates. This movie was such a different aspect and different concept over anything that we have seen, I would say, in the past decade. It takes certain tropes from other movies, but it puts it together in a way that it makes it unique and interesting. The biology of the aliens, like Austin was saying, we're not meant to understand it because they're not from our world. The concept of the time travel, that's not meant to be understood because we as humans can't perceive time travel, if it is even possible.
Science fiction.
It is. And those are the things that this movie does well, is that it makes these impossible ideas and makes them plausible. And it's a good action movie. It's a good sci-fi movie. And it's a good realization movie for the main character, for J.K. Simmons, and for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And it's got that touching, it's got that one little touching moment where the son forgives the father.
Yeah.
You know, and in order to become a better husband and father to the family that he has, not only does he get the realization from his grown daughter, but he realizes that that's, you know, how his dad went.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, it was just it's a good movie. It's not in my top 10 list. It's not like
no
top tier, you've got to see it, I've got to watch it every year movie.
Yeah.
But it is one that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely one that I'll watch again. And if you like these types of movies, if you like the action movie, if you like the science fiction, if you like adventure, it's definitely a movie that you will enjoy.
Yeah.
So I saw the previews for it, the only thing I really knew about the movie was I'd seen the picture of it, and it has Chris Pratt and then his daughter in the background, and that's all I knew.
I've seen a couple trailers of it.
Until I watched the trailer.
Yeah.
When I watched the trailer, I saw J.K. Simmons, and I'm like, that's a movie I'm going to watch.
Yeah. I feel like J.K. Simmons is going to become, like, a huge action star now.
I can see that. I can see him becoming a supporting actor in a lot of action movies.
He does that well.
He does. And Alex, you're completely right. After the movie was over, you and I looked at each other like, that was a lot better than we expected it to be.
Yeah.
And I think everybody at the table can agree that it was a lot better movie than we ever expected it to be.
Yeah, I saw Chris Pratt, Amazon Prime. I was like, okay.
Is it going to be okay?
I mean, they're going to try.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm still a little leery about streaming original movies, but the ones that we have watched, the ones on Netflix and the ones on Amazon, have actually been pretty good.
I think we're pretty selective with it. Like Amazon originals, they have tens of hundreds now.
Yeah.
Same thing with Netflix. Like, we just watch the ones that are mainstreamed. And their mainstream ones are pretty good. But I've watched a couple non-mainstream ones, and they're pretty shit.
We are fairly selective in the movies that we watch, simply because all of us have such diverse tastes in movies, and we don't...
Especially like
crappy movies bore us.
Like Netflix and Amazon's like horror selection of their own production.
Yeah, they're not great.
Is really bad.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch...
Netflix is making a horror movie, by the way. New one.
They've made quite a few. Netflix really tries with horror, but
yeah,
I don't think
it's
going to
have the redhead from Stranger Things in it.
Is that Sadie Sink?
Yeah.
It's
a serial killer movie.
Sink. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be okay, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be alright. Okay, so we are coming down to the last couple minutes of our show. If you like Chris Pratt, you like J.K. Simmons, you like movies like this, go ahead and watch it. Even with the spoilers that we have given, it's still worth the watch.
We didn't really give that much.
And we also didn't talk about much of it.
I mean, for the first hour and a half, we did. But it's still a good movie to watch. Anyway, we're down to the last couple minutes. I was trying to switch the brain into, you know, that mode. All right. Not yet. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports Veterans fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are really, really good ones out there. As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. Tuesday night, I think we are having a Fallen from Grace podcast.
We are.
Awesome. Awesome. Should be an interesting show.
Yeah, it will be me and whoever wants to join me.
So I will be there because there's actually something I want to bring up on that show with you because there's something that's really bugging me. But we'll talk about it on...
In society?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk about it on Falling from Grace. Wednesday night, Cinephiles, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. I know it was still on hiatus. We're working on that. And then, of course, you know, the following Sunday, we'll be doing a movie of the week. So, yeah, we want you back here every night that we broadcast. Sunday nights for movie of the week. Tuesday nights for Falling from Grace podcast. Wednesday night for BTS Presents the Cinephiles. Wednesday night and then Friday nights for Note by Note when it comes back on the air. I want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We greatly appreciate all the love that we get from you guys. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of my co-hosts, all of my guests tonight in the studio.
Yep.
Awesome. As always, thank you for, you know, joining us and running our live feed.
Yeah. This show, so.
Well, yeah. Miss Angel, as always, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And a special thank you to Alex for joining us in studio tonight.
Yep.
It's always fun having you in studio with us.
It was a good show.
Oh, yeah, always. I want to say good night to everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your Sunday night. I know I am. I'm going to go beat up some creatures. And have a great rest of your week. We'll see you back here Tuesday.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Awesome.
Trying to think of something, but I was watching the audio go up and down.
All right.
On that note.
On that note. You all have a good night. We'll see you Tuesday for Falling from Grace. Wednesday for the Cinephiles.
The mustache is attached to a beard. Is it a mustache or is it a beard?
It's facial hair.
All right.
Have a good night.